Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hopefully you guys are enjoying your day so far. A couple of ways you can get a hold of me. 407-270-3044. You can leave me a voicemail or a text at 407-270-3044. Or you can leave me an email, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, T-U-D-D-L-E. gmail.com. So since I got into the new place over here, we actually have internet now. I mean, if you've been listening to the podcast for any long amount of time, you know that I did have Wi-Fi internet that was provided by the owner of the Hobo Fish Camp. And he eventually just took it away from me because he just had it out for me. He did. I guess, you know, he's an older guy. Old people look at technology like it's magic. Like technology is Merlin with the Knights of the Round Table and stuff. Because he didn't understand, like, he wasn't getting charged for the amount of time that I was spending on the internet. He was always telling people, oh, people are complaining about. No, they weren't complaining about me. I was never in there recording my show or anything like that while people were in there. Matter of fact, I helped out a lot of people. But now that I got internet here, I'm able to watch a lot more of the streaming shows. Because I have a lot of the streaming services. But when I was at the Hobo Fish Camp, had no internet. I was on a data plan. They say it's always unlimited, but it's really not unlimited. They start throttling you after like 40 gigabytes worth of data. So I couldn't stream any of the shows on there. So because I had to do my live streams, I had to upload the Tuttle Daily Podcast every single day. So I had to conserve it. But since I got over here, I already had HBO Max. And I'm catching up on a lot of the HBO original series. Been watching Big Love with my mom. My mom has absolutely loved Big Love so far. But I've also was watching The Wire. I'd already seen Big Love. Now, The Wire, I had seen it. It was one of those shows that I would watch whenever I was just, you know, channel surfing, going through HBO and stuff that The Wire was on. Wire, I don't think The Wire has been on HBO in a while. Like, I'm talking about the regular channels. Just surfing, you're not going to be able to find it there. But I had never watched it from beginning to end. And I absolutely loved it. The same guy that created the original Homicide, which took place in Baltimore as well, too, where The Wire took place. It was kind of funny. I was watching, I think, the second to last episode, but Richard Belzer played the character Detective Munch on Law & Order. And I saw him. There was this police bar in The Wire, and they were having a meeting there. But you could see Richard Belzer playing the character as Munch sitting at the bar. Thought it was brilliant. And I was kind of wondering how they were going to wrap it up. And I think they did a brilliant job because a lot of shows, here, for example, everybody hated The Sopranos ending. Everybody wants this whole series, their favorite series, to be tied up in a nice little neat bow. Well, guess what? That's not how real life goes. Because a lot of these shows, they give you these Hollywood endings or these Hollywood twists. And I really liked the way that The Wire did it. I thought it was great. I mean, it didn't give an ending to all the characters that were there. But what I liked about it is, it was a big commentary on the drug war that's going on here in the United States. Because in The Wire, they had a hard time getting to the top level dealers, the people that were bringing in the drugs, the people that were pitting hits and killing people. But they did get a lot of street level people, a lot of street level people. And a lot of those people were the ones that were doing time. But at the end of the show, it just basically showed you, yeah, they made a lot of arrests. They got rid of a lot of bad guys. But guess what? It was next man up. Next man up. And that's why the drug war is located in some of the inner cities and stuff. A lot of people think that it's a racial thing. No, I mean, listen, there's a lot of white people here in the state of Florida and little small towns that are just getting destroyed by the drug epidemic. And I don't want anybody to think that, like, I am preaching. I've been a part of that. And fortunately, I was never arrested. Never was. I was really, really smart. But eventually, it would have caught up to me. It most certainly. After a while, just the odds, it's going to catch up to you. But the way that they ended it was that it was like next man up. All those main characters that we followed through the show and stuff, they all got replaced. Like, there was this homeless heroin addict, or cocaine addict as well, Bubbles. He got all clean. But then there was this little kid in that just got into high school, but then he became homeless because his mom was a crack addict as well, too. And he replaced the Bubbles character. You had Michael, who was a lookout. He got up to work in his own corner. He was doing hits. Like, he was killing people, not doing hits of drugs, but he was killing people. And he replaced the Omar character. And I know that I'm not giving anything away, but I thought it was a brilliant commentary on life in the inner city. I mean, I've really never lived in the inner city, but it was just very, very real because it just showed no matter how many of the street level people, the dealers, street level dealers, and the people that are addicted to these drugs, arrest them all you want to. Guess what? Like I said, next man up. Speaking of drugs, you know, I'm usually not good at segues moving from one topic to another, but I do have a related thing that I want to talk about. My mom ended up getting a couple of texts last night, and I want to find out. I'm gonna talk to my producer Vulture and see what I can do with this, because I don't even know, like, if I even need this type of trouble. But my mom was getting a lot of texts, well, two of them, at 12:44 a.m. then 12:46 a.m. and there is this website called drugtranslator.com, and that's one of the things that I learned from The Wire, watching it on HBO Max, is that while they had The Wire going on, listening to phone calls and stuff, that a lot of the dealers and stuff like that and the people buying drugs will use code words. So in case somebody is listening, and I really don't think anybody is actually listening to this person, but at 12:44 a.m., by the way, I'm getting off track here. I went to drugtranslator.com. There is a website where you can put in, like, words that are slang words for drugs, and you can find out what they mean. And I kind of had an idea what it was. The first text says, "Yo, you can get that change you was asking about for a G of that girl, cuz..." I mean, they're using the word cuz like it's somebody who works at the Bubba Army Radio Network. I know that it's not, because it's a 386 number. But they write, "Yo, you can get that change you was asking for about for a G of that girl, cuz... exclamation part, question mark." So I put that into the drugtranslator.com. And a G of that girl. So it says a G is a gram. But also, I did not know this. I kind of had an idea. But the word boy or girl, and I still have not been able to figure that out yet, it either means heroin or cocaine. And I have not been able to figure out if the girl means heroin or cocaine, or boy means heroin or cocaine. And this is where I would like to get some feedback from you guys. Tuttle@gmail.com, or you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044, or you can comment on any of my social media. Just search Tuttle, twitter.com/Tuttle, facebook.com/Tuttle, instagram.com/Tuttle. Once again, it says, yo, you can get that change you was asking about for a G of that girl. So it's either cocaine or heroin, cuz. And it said, this is my number. I don't know if I should give it out. JR. Junior or JR? Now, what I'm trying to ask is, should I have my producer Vulture reach out? I mean, I know that he could block the numbers and stuff, so nobody had his number. And we can put this guy on, like, voice protection or something. Because, you know, if this guy is a dealer... Oh, what the hell? See, I'm having to use my mom's phone to be able to read this right now, and I had a phone call coming in. It says, yo, can you get a change you was asking about for a G of that girl, cuz? This is my number, JR. So, I'm definitely going to have my producer reach out. I know that this person, if they were smart, would not even think about coming on my show, but I would like to figure out how the hell they got my mom's number, or were they getting high on their own stash and accidentally text the wrong number. Just being upfront, like I said, I'm horrible at segues, but I guess the stars aligned or something like that, because the first three things that I'm talking about are all drug related. Here in the United States, you know, it's kind of funny. And I know that I'm going to get called a liberal for, you know, saying what I'm about to say. But the drug companies, I'm talking about insurance. I'm talking about all the manufacturers of prescriptions. They're raping us. They're raping us here in the United States. I'm not saying that everybody deserves free health care. That is one of the great things about having a great job and stuff. But there are also a lot of people that just get a bad deal. They get a bad hand, and they just had a bad bring-up childhood. They fell through the cracks, and it's just a revolving, like, door of just sadness, despair. And some people just get dealt a bad hand, like I said. I don't think that everybody should have insurance. You know, we talk about Obamacare. We talk about universal health care here in our country, here in the United States. And I don't really think we would even need that. We don't need universal health care. What we need is the drug companies, the insurance companies, the hospitals, to stop bending us over and just sticking it right in our rear without any lube. They don't even give us the courtesy of lube. Have any of you guys ever ended up in the hospital and looked at the bill after you got out? That they charge you like $10, $15. I don't even know what it is. It might be even more for an aspirin or a Tylenol or an ibuprofen, whatever it may be. Something that you can get for a bottle for about $8-$9 at a Walgreens, a CVS, maybe a little bit higher at a convenience store. It's just highway robbery. And that's why a lot of people need insurance, because the costs are so high. And I know a lot of people are probably saying, well, you know, it's a free market. We're not communists here. We like to have a free market where people, if they're willing to pay for it, they'll pay it. But when it comes to health, you got to pay it. You have to pay it. I'll give you an example. I just got health insurance thanks to my producer Vulture. And the thing is that if I didn't have that, I'm not going to be able to get this hernia surgery that I've been needing for quite a while because, the only way that I could ever get it done without health insurance is that if it got so bad and it got constricted in my abdomen muscles, that it wouldn't go back in because you can die from that. You can absolutely die from that. And the same thing goes for prescription drugs. And the thing is that Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, also from the Shark Tank, has kind of just pulled back the veil and has shown us all that this can all be done. And I also know that this is going to be like a big tax write-off for Mark Cuban, and he deserves it. He does. This is a charity foundation, in my opinion, that Mark Cuban has created because he started this new online pharmacy thing where he's buying drugs at wholesale directly from the manufacturers, and he's making it available for the citizens of the United States.
18 million Americans were unable to pay for a prescription medication due to rising costs. And 1 in 10 have had to skip doses.
I've always said this. Look, I still think the United States is the greatest country in the world. We all have our problems. You can look at your neighbors or families that are friends of your family and be like, oh yeah, they're perfect. They're perfect. They got great wives. They got great kids. They even got great pets. Great houses, great lawns, great cars. And you're probably like, oh yeah, they're perfect. They're perfect. There's nothing wrong. No, not at all. The United States is like that perfect family that you envy and you don't know that the husband or the wife, they abuse each other physically and mentally. And you just don't know it. I mean, that's kind of how the United States is. But how can we be considered the greatest country in the world when my dad, before he passed away, he was dependent on insulin. He needed it for his diabetes. And if he didn't have insurance, he would be paying out the ass to be able to get life-saving drugs to keep him alive. And guess what? My dad paid taxes all of his life. He was a business owner. Homeowner, property owner. He paid taxes into the schools and all that stuff. And by the way, my dad was a hardcore Republican. But if my dad wouldn't have had that, it would have bankrupted him if he would not have had insurance. There's a lot of Americans that go to Canada to be able to buy their insulin. But, and I know this is going to sound like really conservative. I know that I'm just mind-effing you. During this topic, but a lot of people, they die or they're stretching out their insulin, but you got all these people that are doing heroin and drugs and all that stuff that the cops are giving out free, that Narcan stuff, the Narcan to block the opiates from killing them. I mean, it makes you snap out of it right away, like you're the Undertaker getting out of a 2.5 count at WrestleMania. And they don't get charged for that. But guess what? If you got diabetes and you need insulin, oh, yeah, they don't care. So how can we be considered one of the greatest countries when the taxpaying citizens are dying or losing limbs or toes, feet, whatever it may be, because they can't afford their diabetes medicine, which is insulin.
That's why Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban just launched a new online pharmacy that sells drugs at much lower prices. Thousands of people have already signed up just since the site opened on Wednesday. It's called Mark Cuban Cost Plus Drug Company.
Kind of a wordy name. I'm just being honest. If we were there and I was a member on the Shark Tank and Mark Cuban rolled in, he's like, yeah, I basically started online streaming lot of people don't know that. Like, all the online streaming and stuff, it's because of Mark Cuban. Because he was streaming sports events so people could hear them. Because it might have been some of the smaller schools, but he sold that. That's how he got his whole billionaire lifestyle started. That's how he bought the Dallas Mavericks. But Mark Cuban walked in with Shark Tank and was like, oh, yeah, I got da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I can't remember what they called it, but it is very wordy. I'd be like, yeah, I'm out. I would love to know what the web address is, because it was like Mark Cuban's Saver Silver Pharmacy Online. Too wordy at all.
A company statement says it's starting with 100 drugs that it purchases directly from manufacturers, cutting out the middlemen and the markups.
It's fine. You know, Mark Cuban's probably not making a lot of friends with this. I'm sure a lot of these politicians, because let's be honest, the reason that the drug prices are so high, you would think that our state senators, our politicians on the state level as well too, the president, whatever it may be, would do something about this. Because I think you would get a lot of votes, you would get a lot of support, if a politician would be like, enough is enough. We're going to, it's enough profit. But that is almost like a death sentence. Because you want to know why none of the politicians are doing it? Because big pharmaceutical, the hospitals, big healthcare, they are giving the politicians here in the United States money on both sides. Republican, Democrat, Independent. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm being a bleeding heart liberal here. No. But the reason none of our politicians are stepping in to do anything about this is because the lobbyists are like, no, you can't do that. We gave you a couple million large to help you get elected, and now you need to kiss our ass. You need to get on your knees and kiss our ass. We're even going to spread our butt cheeks. And you're going to do it. And you're not going to do a goddamn thing about the skyrocketing prices of healthcare.
So it says, for example, the leukemia drug imatinib retails for $9,600 a month. That's the lowest price with a coupon. It's $120 a month, but on Cost Plus, it is $47 a month.
And listen, if you're like myself, because there are a lot of people out there that, you know, help. I haven't had insurance since 2014, the last time I worked at iHeartRadio. And we've all used those GoodRx. I know they got a lot of other websites where you can get coupons to get good medicine or cheap prices on your pharmaceutical drugs. Yeah, they're actually cheaper than GoodRx. I bet GoodRx is like, oh, Mark Cuban, what the are you doing to us here? You're basically dragging our dicks in the dirt, and we're going to lose a lot of money because you're even cheaper than us, and they don't even have to provide a coupon.
And mesalamine, that's a treatment for ulcerative colitis. Well, that retails for $940 a month. The lowest price with a coupon is $102 a month, but it's listed on Cost Plus Drug at $32.40 a month. Now, it says that the prices are set by the manufacturer's price, plus a 15% margin and a $3 pharmacist fee. Cost Plus does not accept insurance, so you will need to pay cash.
You know, I really think this might be one of the greatest things that Mark Cuban or any philanthropists have done. You know, you got Bill Gates and Warren Buffett out there that are just giving away millions or hell, billions of dollars. Because you guys don't realize this, that the rich people, if they don't give away money or they don't do good things to help out people, they're going to get taxed. They're going to get taxed hand over fist. And I know that Mark Cuban's most likely going to get a tax break off of this, but who cares? Who cares? And the thing is that Mark Cuban is going to get a lot of flack from this. He's going to get a lot of heat from doing this. Hell, and I'm not saying this, but I would not be shocked if we wake up one morning and we find out on the news, breaking, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, was found dead because of a heart attack. And it's going to look like it was natural causes or an accident or something like that. And guess what? It's not going to be an accident because big pharmaceutical is going to take care of that. Going to wipe off that website. They'll probably end up buying it and shutting it down. But that's how things work in America. A lot of people in the South, especially the state of Florida, because Florida is surrounded by water on three sides. But they also have this redneck logic that I can't get a DUI on the water. DUIs are only on the interstate, the highways, the roads, hell, even dirt roads. No, that's not the case at all. And this next story that I'm about to play for you is that it is one of the most convoluted stories that I've ever heard in my life. And I don't even think this thing even takes place in the South. But the way that this one dude died and all the twists and turns, yeah, it's straight up like a Southern soap opera.
When Graham McCormick's family asked Rand Hooper to speak at his funeral.
I'm not saying this about Orlando, but what the hell? This is all sounds like, smells like, looks like small market, local news media. Because this woman that is delivering this news story, and I know a lot of it has to do because of the pandemic. I know a lot of these people are doing their voiceovers and stuff from home on a cheap ass microphone. But I know that I sound a little tinty, a little hollow, because I still haven't got the soundproofing up in my new room. And I'm going to be doing that tomorrow, actually. But for the most part, you guys got to realize, a lot of you guys know that I do my show, the Tuttle Daily Podcast, on my phone. I got a Rode microphone. I know how to produce it in post-production. And my stuff is sounding better than a local TV news station, which is really, really sad.
We never dreamed he was somehow involved in Graham's death.
For weeks after Graham's body was found floating in the water where Carter's Creek meets the Rappahannock River, Rand told investigators that he, Graham, and another man played cards and drank on the dock of his parents' river house. And then they all went to bed.
Also, a lot of people in the South. Well, you know what? I'll strike that. Your Honor, I strike that from the record. Everybody in the United States thinks that, oh, I was too blitzed. I was too drunk. I was so wasted as a defense. And that could go for anything. Drugs, alcohol, weed, whatever. And a lot of people think that's a defense, but it's really, really not, because they were like, oh, I don't remember anything. I don't remember everything at all. I was just too blackout drunk.
When Rand woke up, Graham was nowhere to be found. And Rand speculated he had gone out on the dock to call his girlfriend and fallen into the water. Or perhaps he had a panic attack and went to the emergency room.
All right, if you think that you're going to be key suspect number one, don't give out multiple theories. Matter of fact, don't give out a theory at all. I talked about this after watching that Richard Jewell movie, that if the police get involved, even if you're innocent, lawyer. If they ask you, lawyer. But sir, were you here? Lawyer. Sir, are you a human being? Lawyer.
He even watched as Graham's mother used an oar to search the water by the dock for her son.
We thought Rand Hooper was a close family friend.
But 25 days after detectives recovered Graham's body, his family received some shocking news. Rand had just told detectives in the Lancaster County Sheriff's Office that he and Graham took a boat ride in the early morning hours of August 11th in 2017.
Right there. That is a prime example of, if you're going to give a theory of what happened to him, don't say, oh, yeah, we went out on a boat. We went out on a boat. Well, then why did it makes you look guilty as hell. Now, for the most part, this guy probably panicked. He probably didn't want anybody to know about it. He probably did something really, really stupid. And this guy is guilty as hell. But like I said, lawyer.
Hooper said he could not remember who was driving the boat, but he remembered the boat hitting something hard, turning the boat's engine off, calling out for Graham. And when he didn't see or hear him, he figured his friend was a good swimmer and could make it to shore.
All right, look, I know this is a tragic story, but come on. Say me, Lummox, and Colton were out on a boat, and I came to, and Lummox or Colton was missing. I would have been like, I would never in a million years think, oh, yeah, he's a really, really good swimmer. He probably swam the shore, and he's okay. No. Because if he was okay, guess what? You swim back to the boat if you were ejected from it, and you're not going to swim to the shore. This guy, like I said, everything that he is saying now cannot be taken seriously because he didn't use the one word when people start asking you questions. Lawyer.
Got his bearing straight to the Tides Inn and then remembered nothing after that.
They've never expressed any remorse or said they were sorry or anything. It's just such a sense of betrayal that my family feels.
I know the guy's dead, but who is this family member that's speaking on behalf of the guy that died? It sounds like Larry Flint. It sounds like Woody Harrelson portraying the late, great Larry Flint in the movie The People versus Larry Flint.
The revelation came after Lancaster detectives discovered a Boston Whaler boat at the Hooper home.
Funny thing, a funny story. Right after I tried to kill myself and I got let go from the Bubba the Love Sponge show, I ended up applying because there is a Boston Whaler right down the road from the Hobo Fish Camp that I applied for. And I didn't get it. Did not get it at all. I like to tell myself that I was overqualified for it, but they probably saw what I did for a living. Oh, you worked in radio? Yeah, how is that going to help us out putting a hull of a boat together?
With a large amount of damage that matched damage on the bulkhead where they found Graham's body. But when police charged Rand in connection with Graham's death, that was only the beginning in the McCormick family's 4.5-year fight for justice.
2.5 years ago, when things went sideways, I felt alone. I felt abandoned. I felt like my family was, kind of left out in the cold. And I prayed and asked God for warriors.
This case has had more twists and turns than a bobsled run.
Did this guy have some? Did he write what he was going to say before he came out there? He was like, "Oh yeah, I got to give this great speech. I got a bit of joke in here to talk about my dead family member." This case has got more turns than a bobsled run.
From 2017 until now, the McCormicks endured a plea deal thrown out by a judge, a prosecutor who had his law license suspended, another prosecutor who was removed from the case, new more serious charges, and COVID delays.
Like I said before, this is like a white trash Southern soap opera. I swear to God, like the guy said, this soap opera's got more twists and turns than a bobsled run.
I've spent the majority of my 20s waiting for justice for my brother.
By the way, this is not fact. This is me just throwing things out there like a good broadcaster that is not a part of the news, that somebody that can give their own opinion, a good detective. But what I'm trying to say is that this sister, she probably was like, hey, she probably called her, hey, did you see? I was on the news. Did you see me? Oh, yeah, I posted it. I tweeted about it. It's on Snapchat. This sister's probably happy because as far as I know, from just looking at the people that are on camera, you gotta think, this was a nice-ass boat. Nice ass house. They had, they owned a place right on a very nice looking lake. And this sister is probably like, oh, thank God. When she got off the camera, she probably lit up a Marlboro Red. Like, oh, good. More money coming in the inheritance.
On Thursday, their long wait finally came to an end when a Norfolk jury found Rand Hooper guilty of involuntary manslaughter and failure to stop and render assistance in a boating crash.
Once again, this guy would have said the magic word, lawyer. He probably would not gotten as long of a sentence that they're about to talk about. Because now you look like you're just trying to cover stuff up. You can't use the excuse of, I was too drunk. I thought he went out to the dock to call his girlfriend. Or maybe had a panic attack and fell in the water. There's so many suspicious things about this whole goddamn story that I don't know who to believe. That's why I threw it out there. Hell, the sister might be happy. I'm going to get more money when the parents finally croak.
The judge revoked his bond.
My life has been on hold. And for the first time, I really feel like I am going to be able to move forward.
Once I saw that the handcuffs go on, that's when it became real. And that's when I felt like it was time to turn the page and I got my life back.
Man, nobody like has any common sense. I mean, what that guy just said, that's the victim's brother. Oh, yeah, I finally felt like I got my life back. Yeah, that might be a poor choice of words because guess what? Yeah, you got your life back. Your brother still doesn't have his life back either.
Next up in this case, the judge will determine Rand Hooper's sentence. Now, during the prosecution of this case, they were not allowed to bring up Rand Hooper's prior record of DUIs, as well as the time that he shot his friend while drunk in the Fan District.
See, what did I tell you? There are so many layers to this white trash, just novella of a story. I mean, the guy shot one of his friends, already had a DUI. Does nobody else, like, I don't understand why the jury didn't get to hear this, because I think it's pertinent to the whole goddamn trial.
But during the sentencing phase, the judge can consider those things. Working for you in Richmond, I'm Melissa Hippolyte for CBS 6.
Maybe I was right. Maybe it is in the South. Richmond, Virginia, I could swear up and down that's considered the South. I could be wrong. I know that Virginia, Maryland, Washington, D.C., I mean, it's right on the edge of the Mason-Dixon line. Maybe they're transplants, but yeah, definitely Richmond, Virginia. If it's not, if it's above the Mason-Dixon line, I guarantee you that the South claims them of one of their own. All right, guys, going to get out of here. Before I go, I'm going to tell you about my good friend, Ian Hanna. Ian Hanna, if you're in the market to buy or sell a home in the Brevard, Volusia, Flagler areas, go to ianhannahomes.com. You know, my mom had never bought a home on her own because my dad handled all that stuff. We moved out of the hobo fish camp. And my mom, you know, she was kind of overwhelmed by the whole thing. But Ian actually helped us out. Matter of fact, he saved us a couple of grand when it came to buying the home. He gave us a bunch of tips and tricks. He's also a whiz when it comes to drone footage. Because you're going to want to have that. When you're buying and selling a home, either or here in the state of Florida, especially during the pandemic, a lot of people don't want to go out. They want to be able to see everything online. And one of the most important things that people want to see is the roof because of all the hurricanes that we have here in the Sunshine State. So like I said, if you know anybody or yourself is in the market to buy or sell a home, go to my good friend Ian Hanna, ianhannahomes.com. Gonna get out of here, guys. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchUup.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.